Well, you'll notice the printout, and I hope you have a printout. It's one word, Joshua, but yet there is a subtitle under Joshua. It is entering the promised land, entering the promised land. I hope you have something to write with. We're going to take some notes as we always do here at Hainesville Baptist Church. Entering the promised land. You do not have this, but here are talking points. God has given to every Christian a possession, and that possession is victory. Every Christian, every believer in Jesus Christ has victory as a gift. Every Christian is to be living a victorious life. Every Christian is an overcomer. God has given to you victory. And if you're not living a victorious life right now, you are living beneath your privileges. While the Bible admits the possibility of failure, it never assumes the necessity of failure. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're to always triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book of Joshua is a book that is written to show us how we might have the victory that our Lord wants us to have. Let's begin by looking at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Now it happened after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Underline the word Joshua. You may not know this, but Joshua was around 93 years of age at this point. He was called by Jesus Christ and God the Father to govern a perverse and rebellious people, and at the same time contend with a warlike enemy. He needed the divine assurance of Almighty God. Now it happened after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, attendant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Underline that word arise. The word arise in the Hebrew is a command. It is a command to get going. Secondly, it is a command to get ready to do battle. And thirdly, it is a command. The time has come to act. Now therefore arise and take his place. Underline that phrase, take his place. Take his place as a servant. One who carries out the will of another. Here in context, it will be the will of Almighty God. And don't ever forget in your Christianity that God has given you and blessed you with, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present. And God is all-sufficient. I am saying that to say this. Your government is not. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is all important. Back to the printout. It is Joshua to take the place of Moses. He is now the servant of God. To cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to you, to the sons of Israel. Introduction. Moses had been the greatest human leader Israel had ever known. But Moses was gone. He was yesterday's news. Israel had to stop looking back to the leeks and garlic of Egypt and the good old days when Moses had led, and instead look ahead to the milk and honey and new leadership of the promised land. I want you to underline this next phrase. It was time to move on. It was time to move on. The work of God must go on. God's servants die, but God does not die. Neither does his divine program. Moses had been the greatest human leader Israel had ever known. But Moses was gone. He wasn't coming back. He was dead. He was yesterday's news. Israel had to stop looking back to the leeks and garlic of Egypt and the good old days when Moses had led, and instead look ahead to the milk and honey and new leadership of the promised land. It was time to move on. Here are some questions. Number one, is it important to remember the past? Yes or no? The answer is yes. The success of this church in the past and up through today is because of its sensitivity to the Lord's authority and the Lord's methods. Should we appreciate the good? Yes or no? Yes. Are we to learn from the bad? Yes or no? In the walk of faith, and faith is putting your trust and confidence in the living God. Faith is living by divine persuasion. It is living by the Word of God. It is living being obedient to the Word of God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the walk of faith, can you live on nostalgia? Underline nostalgia. It means a longing for the past. What is your answer? Can you live with your eyes on the rearview mirror of your life? What is your answer? You've got to go forward. Is that correct? Depending on the Lord's means for deliverance and understanding and diligently seeking God's complete purposes. Look at verses 3 through 6. It says, I have given you, underline the word given, and it refers to a grace gift that can only come from God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. I have given you as a grace gift, for you have not earned what I am about to give you. I have given you, underline the word you. In the Hebrew, it is plural. It is referring to all of Israel. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, and no one will be able to stand against you. Be strong. Be courageous. In other words, he reminded Joshua that the promised land, Israel's inheritance, was already given to them. That didn't mean, however, that they were to sit and do nothing and wait for the local inhabitants to simply abandon Canaan to them. Write this, if you will. But there would be hard fighting. There would be hard fighting. There were going to be fortified cities. There were going to be giants. There would be spiritual warfare. It would take place. You would be fighting Satan himself and his demons. It will be a very difficult fighting. It will be a very hard fighting. Question. What is required to make literal what God had already made legal? It is actions of faith. And what is actions of faith? It is a new love. When you become a child of the living God, you receive a new love. It is a agape love. You are able to love the unlovable. You love with the love of Almighty God, and in that love is mercy. In that love is total forgiveness. It is a love that you and I don't believe, can fully understand while in this body here on planet Earth. But when we come and stand in the presence of Almighty God, we will begin understanding what love is really all about. There will be a new love. There will be a new obedience. That is actions of faith. Number two, will the enemies of God resist? Yes, they will. Will they fail? Yes. Provided that Israel was strong and courageous. You'll notice strong and courageous is underlined. That is for a reason. Let's define strong and courageous. Strong and courageous means do not be afraid or tremble. Let me say this, because I have been preaching upon our government, on the critical race theory, and on BLM. I am saying this to you. Do not be afraid or tremble before this administration that we now have, before this government we now have. When I talk about Joe Biden and I talk about the Democrats, I will say this very boldly. How in the world can you vote for what is right being a Democrat? Think about it. provided that Israel was strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before any man or any government or any administration. Do not be timid and do not be wavering before anybody. The all-powerful God says this, and every man should listen. No man at all will be able to stand against you. I promise you, for I have said it. Page 2 at the top of the page. This is an example of the intersection of God's sovereignty. What does God's sovereignty mean? I'll say it again. God is in control. Do you actually believe that? Over everything, all the time. Always has been, is at this very moment, and always will be. This is an example of the intersection of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. God makes promises, but we are called to obey in order to secure them. Consider a parent who pays for a child's education. If the child doesn't go to class or study, it is not the promise of a free education that will inevitably fail. The problem is that the promise wasn't embraced. God's process for every believer mirrors His process for Israel. He offers, number one, deliverance. Secondly, He offers development. And thirdly, He offers destiny. What is deliverance? Deliverance is salvation. Deliverance comes as a result of you and me receiving Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, believing that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full, believing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that was appointed in eternity past, and that is non-negotiable. It is never, ever going to change. Jesus is Lord, He is Master, and that will never change. Jesus Christ is our salvation, again appointed in eternity past by the Holy Trinity. That is non-negotiable. Again, it won't ever change. Deliverance is salvation. What happens when we trust in Jesus Christ? What does it say in John chapter 14? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me. Then look at development. Development is the process of sanctification. Sanctification in Christianity is the child of God being set aside for the will of God and for divine use. It's like our time in the wilderness as we experience God's trials to test and grow our faith. Is God going to test your faith? Is God going to grow your faith? Destiny. Destiny is what God has planned for us. If God has planned it, is it going to change or is it going to be there? When you and I die, Dwayne, is everything going to be there as God has planned it? The answer is yes, according to the truth of God's word. It is what God has planned. And when did God plan everything? In eternity past, once again. Again, it is non-negotiable. It is what God has planned for us, the believer in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, a life that has no end and has no beginning. A life that is going to go on forever and forever. Eternal life in heaven and the rewards that come with it. God's promises are a sure thing. But much of the timing depends on you and it depends on me. Will we say yes to deliverance? Are we willing to grow in our faith? Are we willing to live by divine persuasion? Are we willing to live by trust and confidence in the living Lord Jesus Christ? Are we committed to living in the light of eternity? And we know that God Himself in Jesus Christ will be the light of eternity. There will be no sun, there will be no moon. They themselves, from their glory, will light up all eternity. We are called to pursue God's promises, reaching out to touch heaven through acts of faith, while our feet still walk on this broken ground. Verses 7 through 9. Next, God said, observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses has commanded you, so that you will have success. Underline the word success and write spiritual well being. Spiritual well-being. So that you will have success. Spiritual well-being. And then there's a second meaning here. His success, you got to get this one, depended on his spiritual state and degree of obedience. It did not depend upon his military strategy. And that has not changed today. Success in the life of the Christian is going to depend upon the child of the living God and his obedience to the word of God itself. All right, here we go. Number one, under verses 7 and 9. Ultimate success for a Christian is not rising to popularity. True or false? Boy, you're quiet. Number two. Ultimately, success for a Christian is not rising to power, prosperity, or position. True or false? Thank you. Success is fulfilling your God-given purpose in life. According to the Scripture, when did God give you your purpose in life? It was in eternity past. Before you came into existence, God had planned everything that needed for you to be successful in your life as a child of the living God. And I go back to the critical race theory, for it gets under my skin, but I want to say a small thing right here. If God knew you in eternity past, if God planned out everything about you in eternity past, then God planned out the color of your skin. There is no such thing as white supremacy. There is no such thing as black supremacy. I want you to understand, Black Lives Matter is a force. It is a lie straight out of hell. It has been uncovered, the prostitutes, the call girls, the drug addicts, the corruption that is taking place in BLM as I speak. We need to wise up as human beings. There's no need in arguing about the color of somebody's skin. You didn't determine it. God determined it. And you do not need to apologize for the color that you are. That was under the making of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much. Success is fulfilling your God-given purpose in life. To do that, you, like Israel, must meditate on Scripture, that is the Word of God today, and carefully observe everything written in it. To meditate on something is to roll it over and over in your mind. When you do, the Word of God is driven deeply into your soul so that your actions can be driven by God's perspective rather than your feelings, your emotions, or cultural opinion. Let me say something else. When you're born into this world, not only is the color of your skin settled, but also whether you're going to be a boy or a girl is already settled. And we don't have to have a doctor or liberal parents or drag queens tell us what we need to do with our children. We are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient to the word of the living God and say, to God be the glory. And I depend upon Him and you should. Why? If you and I are obedient to Him, no man can stand against you. No man can stand upon you. Brother, you will live a free life. You will live a servant and glad to live it in the glory of Almighty God. Page 3, please. After receiving instructions, verses 10 through 15, from the Lord, you might want to underline the words instructions from the Lord. Joshua told the people, get ready to rumble. Here we go. Specifically, he told the Reubenites and the Muscovites, I'm sorry, it's not in there. He told the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh who had already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan, now listen to this, to help the other tribes. In other words, every church, if it is part of the body of Christ, we are to be there to pray along with them and for them and help them, for they are our brother and sister in Jesus Christ. On the east side of the Jordan, to help the other tribes claim their land. Joshua's challenge here, reject selfishness. Reject selfishness. It's not all about Hainesville Baptist Church. It never has been. It's not going to be long as I'm here. And when I'm gone, I don't know what the next guy, Jock's going to do for you here. Or the bouncer that comes in, whatever you want to call him. Yeah, you have a divine designation that's coming after I am. And it probably won't be long down the road someday. And battle alongside their brothers so that everyone could obtain the rest. In other words, the experience of God's promise that God had provided. Verses 16 through 18. To this the people responded, "Everything you have commanded us, we will do." How in the world had this church been here so long? What made it possible? Was it the great preachers you've had? Not at all. It was your obedience and being sensitive to the authority of God, to the Word of God, to loving Him, to loving one another, and say, "Can I pray with you? Can I pray alongside you?" Hainesville Baptist Church is nothing without its head, Jesus Christ. And the pastor's not the head. The deacons are not the head. The committee on committees is not the head. Jesus Christ is the sole head of Hainesville Baptist Church. And if you attend a church and it's not that way, get out of it just as fast as you can. If the preacher, and when the preacher, starts telling you what to do and how to do it in the place of Almighty God, it ain't biblical. They had accepted the fact that the baton had been passed from Moses to Joshua. I like that. God said to the people that were crying of Israel over Moses, "Shut up and get over it. He's just another man, just like you. I've got control of the situation. I'm giving the guidance. I'm the one that's giving you victory. I'm the one." One Lord, one faith, one baptism. All they wanted was for their leader, listen to this, to be strong and courageous. They wanted him to obey the Lord. You don't have it, but I added it this morning. They wanted him to obey the Lord, the Word of God, to be a true shepherd, not a hireling. They wanted him to obey the Lord and uphold God's promise. It's in the Word of God. And God's power, there is no greater power. And God's presence. What good is this church if we don't have God's promise, God's power, and God's presence? Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for Christian people everywhere, that we will learn that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not here to compete against one another. We all have times of adversity, hardship, struggles. We all have good days and bad days. We all have ups and downs. We all have days we don't feel like we can walk anymore. We can't even think straight anymore. Pray for me. Some of the sweetest words you'll ever hear. Will you pray for me? Will you put your arm around me? Will you hold my hand? I need the Lord's touch. I need to know that He loves me. I do. But sometimes I doubt. I waver. I'm human. And I need a church where God's people are true. It doesn't matter if you have a ring in your nose or a ring in your navel, a ring in your lip. We'll love you here. We're not interested on the outside. It's what God can do on the inside that matters. I'm glad the people are here today. They're enjoying one another. Isn't it amazing? We're all getting a little older. And we begin to realize, will I be here at the next one? So I better make this one count. If I see somebody I know, let me go to them. Smile. Say, it's good to see you. I pray that God's been blessing you. That you'll have the strength each and every day to be a witness for Him. I pray for you because I love you. And I want you to know that. Today is a day of the heroes of the faith. Not only in the Bible, but across the street in that little white building. Lots of good memories. And memories are gifts from God. And you have good ones. I know some will make you laugh and some will bring a tear. But that's okay. You've got them. And you'll hang on to them until the day that you pass. May God bless you on your way home. May God bless you this afternoon as we fellowship a little more. Father, thank you for opening up your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.